So of all the stories in the Old Testament, and there are quite a few of them, my favorite story is the story about Joseph. And it actually takes place at the last part of Genesis. The last third of Genesis is actually the story of Joseph. So you got, basically you have creation, and then you have the fall, and you have Cain and Abel, and then you have the flood, and after the flood you have the Tower of Babel, and then you have the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jacob has 12 sons, and the 12 sons are Reuben. Well, I won't go through the 12 sons, but there's 12 sons there. But the favorite son of Jacob is Joseph. And I don't know why this story resonates with me so much, but I love the story of Joseph. Basically, he was born in this great family. His father, Jacob, is going to become a great nation. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And you have the 12 boys of Jacob, but you have the one son named Joseph. And Joseph apparently was Jacob's favorite son. And I'm not entirely sure why he's the favorite son. God has always said that, well, this is why I think that he's the favorite son. I mean, this is my theory. It's not in the Bible. But all the other boys are out in the field working, right? But Jacob seems to be special. His dad gives him this coat. And then he shows them in a dream that someday they're all going to bow down to him. So I've always felt that Jacob was the runt of the family. And he was too small to really do anything. And so that's why the brothers were always upset with him, was because he couldn't go out and work in the field because he was just the little guy, right? And if you look at the history of God in the Old Testament, God always works through the little guy. And so that's why I think that Joseph was probably the runt of the family. We have no idea, but that's what I think. So anyway, God comes to Joseph in a dream and says to him that someday he's going to be exalted and his brothers are going to bow down to him. And Joseph shares this dream with his brothers and they don't like it. They don't like that God is going to exalt him and they're not going to be exalted. And so, being like other angry brothers, they do what you would all do, right? They go to kill their brother by putting him in a pit. But then these team of Ishmaelites come by, and they're like, hey, why don't we sell him into slavery, and we'll never see him again. We'll get some money back. We'll take his clothes. We'll show him to dad and say he was killed by a wild animal, and everybody's happy. And so they go and they do this. And Joseph ends up in slavery in Egypt, where he actually gets imprisoned, and then he interprets dreams. And through the interpreting of these dreams, he gets noticed by Pharaoh, because Pharaoh is having these horrible dreams, and he doesn't know what they mean. And somebody's like, well, there's a guy in prison, and he knows what these dreams, so why don't you bring him? So he's taken out of prison, he's before Pharaoh. Pharaoh tells him the dreams, and Joseph says, this is what the dreams mean. You're going to experience some great crops over the next 7 years. But then after that, you're going to have 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh said, wow, that's probably what this dream means. So Joseph, I want you to be in charge of this. And so Joseph gets elevated to be like the chief of staff of Pharaoh to manage this famine and feast time in the land of Egypt. Well, while they're doing all this, the famine also happens where Joseph was from. And they're not doing well, and they hear that Egypt has food. They have no food, so they send the 12 brothers to Egypt to find food. And so they come to Egypt, and then Joseph recognizes his brothers. He tries to trick them by planting the silver cup in one of the brothers' backpacks. And it so happens that he makes this big scene. He says, what are you doing? You stole a cup. I'm giving you all this free food. And The brothers say, no, 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 this is an accident, and Benjamin would never do this. Take our life, don't take Benjamin's life. And Joseph realizes that the brothers that he left 30 years ago, 40 years ago, are not the same guys as standing before him. And then, so that's all to build up to this moment in time, which is what we just read. Because the climax of the story of Joseph is happening in Genesis chapter 45. We're talking about unconditional love. We're doing a 3-week sermon series on unconditional love. Last week we talked about justice. And justice is getting what you deserve. That's justice. But there's another word, and that word is mercy. And mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We say sometimes, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, don't give me the punishment that I deserve. That's mercy. And I can think of no greater story about mercy than that of the story of Joseph, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I just want to talk about it a little bit because there's some really, really cool things in this story. So here's the story of Joseph. We're at the climax of the whole entire story. Joseph has realized that these are his brothers. He's tried to trick them. He's realized they've changed. And now we find out what happens. First of all, we're just going to jump right down to chapter 45, verse 3, where Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were dismayed at his presence. One version says they were terrified in his presence. And you can imagine that they would be terrified, right? Because what did they do to him? They were going to kill him. They put him in a pit. They were going to leave him to dead. And then all of a sudden these Ishmaelites came around and they pulled him out of the pit and they sold him and they washed their hands of Joseph, never to hopefully see him again. It is like the worst crime you can possibly imagine. Think of it. Well, it's bad on so many levels. First of all, there was this thing called family, and family doesn't do this to family. I mean, family protects family, and yet they throw him in a pit to sell him to the Ishmaelites. But also, they were going to commit murder. And instead, they put him into slavery. I mean, think about around the world today, and one of the worst crimes that we can think of in humanity is when somebody is sold into slavery. And there are stories after stories after stories that you'll see about people in the United States and people around the world that are still selling their children into slavery. It's like, and you go to prison and that's your crime and you don't last very long. It's like the worst crime you can possibly imagine. That's the crime that was committed against Joseph. It is a horrible crime. The interesting thing is this, and this is just true with about all sin there is, the crime didn't go away because they got rid of him. If they were going to kill him, the crime doesn't go away. They thought it would go away, right? They brought the stuff back to his father, to Jacob, and they said, yeah, your son was killed. And they thought that they'd be done with it. But what does Jacob do? He weeps uncontrollably forever. Because even though they killed or got rid of Joseph, the presence of Joseph was still in that family forever. They didn't get rid of him just by killing him. The memory of him and the love and who he was haunted them for years and years and years. So those of you contemplating murder, which I hope is none of you, it doesn't go away by killing somebody. I mean, you might think the problem goes away, but it doesn't. It never does. It stays with you forever. Remember Poe with the bleeding heart or something? I mean, it's just, that's why it's one of the big Ten Commandments. Don't commit murder. Because it doesn't solve the problem you think it's solving. There's a better way to solve the problem of a relationship, and that is to mend the relationship. Anyway, so that was the brothers. They're terrified. Then we're going to jump backwards to verse 2. where Joseph wept so loudly. So here he is at the climax of the story. He doesn't know what to do about his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him. And Pharaoh's household heard him also. Now, we don't know why Joseph was weeping, but we do know that it was a pretty big weeping, so much so that the world around them was hearing. Why did he weep? We have no idea. Why do we weep today? Well, you might weep because you stub your toe and it's just painful and you're going to cry. That happens to me still, believe it or not. We weep because of death or injury or spouse or broken relationship or over that. But I think that Joseph was weeping because he was having an existential crisis in his brain. Because here are the brothers that sold him into slavery and they've changed. They're no longer the brothers that he left those many, many years ago. And he doesn't know what to do. He's having an existential crisis within himself, and he is weeping uncontrollably. Because by justice, as Pharaoh's chief of staff, the most incredibly wonderful society that lived in that time, they had it all together, they had all the pharaohs, and he's the right-hand person. He has all this power. He could destroy his brothers and nobody would have even blinked an eye. And yet he sees that they're changed. And he doesn't know what to do. Because he wants to show mercy to his brothers, or he thinks he should show mercy to others. There's always a price for mercy. When a person shows mercy, there's always a price to be paid. In the Egyptian society, the price would be that he would be taken down a couple notches. He's the chief of staff. He can snap his fingers and people can die and it doesn't mean anything. And yet, he's going to show mercy to his brothers that tried to kill him? Pharaoh would have shook his head and say, no, 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 you shouldn't do that. The Egyptians would have shook their head and said, why are you doing that? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So in their eyes, by showing mercy, Joseph is taken down a couple notches in respect in Egypt. There's always a price to be paid for mercy. But we don't know why he was crying or why he was wailing. Somebody once told me that you can always tell the character of a person by why they cry. So you can be crying for, you're in pain, or you can be crying for the loss of somebody. But another reason why you can cry in this world is when you hear the story of somebody showing mercy to somebody else or having an existential crisis. And I think that we find out that the answer is later, that Joseph shows mercy to his brothers, and that's why he's crying. Listen to chapter 45, verse 5. Joseph is standing before his brothers, and he says this, "And now do not be distressed. Do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." It was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. See, this is the story. This is the key to the whole story of Joseph. Because the Joseph that they sold into slavery, that his brothers were going to kill, imagine how he felt as he was caravaned away in this foreign group of people he didn't know, and he knew he was going to have to live a life of slavery because his brothers sold him away. That Joseph is not the same Joseph that was before his brothers. He had grown considerably because Joseph still trusted God. In all of the turmoils, of all the stress, all the problems he had in life, the one thing we know about Joseph is that he still clung to the hope that in all of this, God still had a plan, that God was still in charge, that God still loved Joseph. And he finds out at the very end that God's plan was coming true. And that's why he was weeping. He was weeping with joy because the Joseph that we find in Scripture realized that God's plan was coming true, that God was still being faithful, and Joseph was taking the large vision of this and saying, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Because mercy always has a price. And Joseph knew that by forgiving his brothers, it was going to come with a price, but it was going to come with redemption. It was come with healed relationships. Because if Joseph had killed his brothers, he would still be Pharaoh's number two person, chief of staff, but the one thing he would lack in his life is relationship with the family that he grew up with. And Joseph realized that he still wanted that relationship, so he put it all beside him, pushed it away, and maintained a relationship with his brothers. And maybe that's why it's such a powerful story to me. Because deep down, we realize that mercy always has a price. For someone to be merciful to someone else requires a price. And I believe the story of Joseph is a precursor. It's the exact same story that God has towards humanity. Because we sold God down the river. In the original sin, we are always selling God down the river, and we're not doing things like we should, and yet God, in His mercy, paid the price so that we could stand before Him and still have a relationship with Him through Jesus. And maybe that's why this story just resonates so well, because it is a precursor of the story, which is Jesus becoming flesh and dwelling among us and restoring a relationship. He had every right to kill us, but He doesn't. Instead, He restores relationships at a huge price, but He was willing to pay it. I love the story of Joseph. It so demonstrates mercy. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is where you don't get what you deserve. And God has shown His mercy to us through Jesus. In His name. Amen.